It's time for Steve Gallimore Live. For the next hour, we'll examine the world around us through news, science, and philosophy. Then we'll open up God's Word to put it all into perspective. Now here's your host, Steve Gallimore.
Great to be with you today, and today we are going to look at the issue of helping troubled kids. As you well know, of course, there are many young people in this country, many kids that are troubled. We have a number of social issues that have led us to the place where we are today, and it seems like we keep reading report after report of young people, even kids, that are involved in very serious crimes. Our poll question today is, do you believe that violence in the media contributes to teenage crime? Do you believe that violence in the media contributes to teenage crime? And then you have the opportunity of answering yes or no. If you haven't taken that opinion poll, go there and do that. You can go to the website, lifetalk.net. That is lifetalk.net, and you'll find that opinion poll there. Do you believe that violence in the media contributes to teenage crime? We're going to talk about that and other issues today, and we would invite you to give us a call. Our number is 800-775-4673. That's 800-775, and then the word HOPE, H-O-P-E. Well, you may have read that this week's Time magazine, this is the recent issue that's out on the newsstands right now, that it has addressed this issue of, well, a part of the issue. And what you find there in Time magazine this week is addressing the part of teen suicide, of course, which is related to the issue of violence and this kind of behavior that we're finding in our young people, violence against themselves, violence against others. But it addressed the issue of teen suicide on college campuses. It cites that one student had a serious thoughts about suicide, and he pretended to get better in order to not be sent home. This seems to be something that is occurring now on the college campuses, because there is certain punishment, if we can say that, certain rulings that have taken place in the court system against the colleges and universities, and so they have to be aware of these issues, and so a lot of them now are simply sending these young people home if they indicate any tendency towards suicide or even other kinds of violent behavior. So they just send them home and get rid of them. Well, where are we with the whole issue of violence in our schools, violence by way of young people taking out violent activity against themselves, violent activity against others, especially other kids in school? You may have noticed that 1 week ago in the news, there was an issue of a 13-year-old girl in Oregon, 13 years old, and this girl was convicted of attempting to kill two classmates, and she did that by slipping rat poison into their milk. And the girl is being held in a juvenile detention center now, and she will be there in that center until she is 25 years old or until she demonstrates that she has been completely cured of whatever it was that led her to this kind of behavior. Well, a 12-year-old accomplice of this girl was also found guilty of plotting and executing a plan to kill two classmates that they didn't like. And so what they did is they slipped this rat poison into the lunch milk of these two classmates. Now, the classmates noticed that there were green pellets in their milk, and they decided not to drink their milk, fortunately. And so they didn't receive any harm because they noticed that something wasn't quite right. Well, this spring, in three separate states, Kansas, Washington, and Alaska, boys planned Columbine-style gun attacks in schools. And fortunately, in each one of these cases, the plots were discovered and they were stopped just in time. We read these kinds of things and we have to scratch our head and say, what is leading to this kind of behavior? Why would kids, you start thinking about 12, 13-year-olds, why would they be plotting murder against their fellow classmates? And so we have to say, what is happening in society? What is happening with these young people that would lead them into these kinds of things? We're going to talk about that today. You may have opinions or ideas or things that you would like to express about what we're talking about today. You can do that by dialing 800-775-4673. That's 800-775 and the word HOPE, H-O-P-E. And give us a call. We'd like to hear what your thoughts on all of this is. You may also have noticed that this last February, so just a few months ago now, that in Prince George's County, Maryland, two teenagers were arrested for firing 5 shots at a school bus they had just left. So the kids left the school bus, and they turned around and fired shots at it. The bus driver drivers in that particular school system say that violence, including pushing, shoving, kicking, and throwing things, is becoming, and this is a quote, a menacing problem. Well, it seems to be more than maybe just a menacing problem. It seems to be a very serious issue. They must keep their attention on traffic, of course, the school bus drivers, when they drive, and they can't monitor the students all the time. So many school bus drivers are now simply calling the police, calling 911 and asking for assistance or help, or driving to a police station and allowing the police to take care of kids on the school bus. Well, I rode a school bus when I was a kid, rode a school bus almost every day when I was a kid, and I never remember anything that would have escalated to the place where it would have been necessary for police to be called in. In fact, most kids were afraid that it would be reported to the principal, and you didn't want that kind of thing to happen. Well, it's not that way now. There is violence in our society. There is violence that has permeated all the way down to our teenagers and to our kids, and we have to once again ask ourselves, what is causing all of this? Last week, that was Monday, May 9, an 18-year-old teenager died in a shootout with officers in a suburban D.C. area after killing one detective and wounding 2 others. The boy's friend said that they had noticed a change in the boy recently and that he was now claiming that he was Jesus. He started hoarding up weapons and ammunition, and he talked about fighting zombies and aliens. Well, there are those kinds of kids, and obviously we're looking there at some sort of mental disturbance, I would assume. But what about kids that seem to be rather normal and probably are rather normal? What motivates them to murder their classmates or attempt to murder their classmates or engage in other types of violent behavior? We'd like to hear from you. We have just an excellent guest today that is going to talk with us about this topic. If you'd like to join our discussion, you can do that at 800-775-4673. Give us a call. State your opinions and your ideas. 800-775-HOPE.
Has Steve made you think today? Tell us about it. 800-775-4673.
That's it now. Just close your eyes and head off to dreamland. You know, you've made quite a difference around here. Before you came along, your mother and I didn't think too much about planning for the future. But that sure has changed. Because now we have you to think about. That's why we've started saving. We have to set money aside for what's down the road. We'll try to help you out with college as much as possible. And we want to be getting ready for retirement, too. Because by then, you'll have your own baby to plan for. And we don't want you to have to worry about us. It's amazing how someone as small as you can make such a big difference.
If you need help saving for the future, check out the free online guide to family budgeting when you visit crown.org. Or write Box 100, Gainesville, Georgia, 30503. A Money Minute from Crown Financial Ministries.
Children in particular today. We know, of course, that violence has really almost taken over our society. I would remind you once again that when we go back in the Bible, back to the day of Noah, the Bible tells us that the Lord destroyed the world at that time because of violence that was in the earth. Psalm chapter 7, verse 9, Psalm 7, 9 says, "Righteous God, bring an end to the violence of the wicked and make the righteous secure." I think that would be a prayer of any of us. And we would say, Lord, please make the world secure and end the violence that we see around us. But it must be a concern, I think, to every person in society. It should be a tremendous concern to us that are Christians about the violence that we see around us. It is, I believe, one sign that the world is slipping into those events that will bring us to the end of time when Jesus comes back again. But I know that each one of us is concerned about all the violence that we see. How do we stop it? How do we deal with it? And what does it mean when children and young people become so involved in the violent society that we live in that they become violent themselves and start engaging in this kind of behavior against each other and against adults as well? Now, our poll today was, do you believe that violence in the media contributes to teenage crime? And here is the result. Here are the results of the poll. And it looks like 96% of you answered yes. You believe that violence in the media contributes to teenage violence. Only 4% of you said that you felt it had nothing at all to do with it. So there's a choice of yes or no. Once again, the question, do you believe that violence in the media contributes to teenage crime? And 96% of you said yes, you believe that it does. We're going to talk about that, and our guest today is so well qualified to help us with this and to tell us whether or not the data really supports what you have indicated that you believe on this topic. And so he is going to share some things with us here in just a moment. My guest is Dr. Tim Jennings, MD. He's a psychiatrist and a lecturer, and he is here in the studio with me today. He's in private practice in Dalton, Georgia. And Tim, it is great to have you with me as we talk about really this very, very important topic. I mean, it seems like all of society is just slipping into violence. We know that in the last few years, some of the violent crimes in the major cities seems to have decreased. But overall, we actually are seeing an increase in crime and violent crime, and especially among young people. And it's got to be a troubling thing. And I don't know what you see in your private practice, but what is your general perspective of where we are as a society as it relates to violent behavior?
First off, thanks for having me again. Joy being here with you. I think that there's no question that violence is increasing overall in society. And there are multiple factors involved in why that's going on. And your audience is quite right that media, television, is playing a role in that. There is a study done, if you'd like me to share that with your audience, actually
sure.
Several studies, but this was kind of the seminal study done by a Dr. Centerwall, which was published in the Journal of American Medical Association back in the 90s. And he wanted to see if television watching was associated with the murder rates in society, because he wanted to use a black and white definition of violence, and murder rate is a real black and white definition there. He used three countries, the United States, Canada, and South Africa. And what he looked at was the murder rates before and after the introduction of television. And the reason he used South Africa is because South Africa didn't allow television into their society until 1974. The United States and Canada introduced television in 1945. So he looked at murder rates in the United States and Canada. And by the way, he used Canada because they have very strict gun control laws. Right. And he didn't want access to guns in America to be used to criticize. And in the South Africa data, it was white-on-white only murder rates, so apartheid issues would be taken out of the equation. And what he found was from 1945 to 1974, murder rates in the United States increased by 93%, in Canada by 92%, and during the same period of time in South Africa, murder rates actually decreased by 7%. Okay. And then he looked at what happened to murder rates after television was introduced in South Africa from 1974 to 1986, and he discovered that murder rates in South Africa after television was introduced jumped 130%.
Right. I mean, that is a tremendous increase.
Yes, and there's reasons for it. If we want to discuss the reasons, what television does to the brain.
Well, yeah, I think we should talk about that. You know, when you think of kids watching television, any parent that allows their child to watch television, certainly they should do that under supervision, even teenagers. I know with our kids in their years of childhood and teenage years, we, of course, closely monitored what they watched on television. And I don't mean to the standpoint that, you know, we controlled every little thing that they did. But in a reasonable way, we looked at that. And we, of course, controlled what we watched so that we watched things with them that were appropriate for their age. And I think that that's an important thing to do. But, you know, when little kids sit in front of television and is used as a babysitter and they watch in all kinds of media, in the news, in movies, et cetera, these kind of violent behaviors, it would seem to me, just from a layperson's viewpoint, that you would say common sense says that's going to have an effect on them.
Well, and you've done a good job of articulating the common thought that people have about TV, that it's the violence they watch on TV that contributes to the violence, and certainly that is a part of it. But what was on TV from 1945 until 1974? Howdy Doody, sure. Leave It to Beaver, you know, these types of programs. Even nonviolent television programming contributes to violence in kids.
Okay.
And there's a reason for that, because it actually interferes with the development of prefrontal cortex brain function, the developing circuits in the prefrontal cortex, which are the part of the brain you need to actually exercise self-restraint, the part of the brain that your conscience is housed in. And so as these parts of the brain are undermined in their ability to develop, then it increases the risk of violence later down the road.
Well, what is it that actually happens physiologically? I mean, what is it about the media itself, about the medium of television, the box, the set? I mean, is it the frequency? Is it the programming? Is it the fact that it moves fast? What is it? Do we know what actually the cause and effect issues are?
Yeah, there actually are several factors involved. One of them you just mentioned, and I think in a moment we're going to get into some more of the factors involved, but one of the ones you mentioned was the fact that it moves so rapidly from situation to situation to situation, it doesn't actually approximate what happens in real life. So kids are being trained to not be able to attend very long to what's going on in any given situation. But that's one factor only.
We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us. We have a lot more to talk about on this issue. If you would like to join our discussion, you're welcome to do that. We always enjoy and appreciate when you call in. The number is 800-775-4673. So give us a call, 800-775 and the word HOPE.
Make a comment on today's show. Call 800-775-4673.
Imagine an entire town where the only restaurants serve nothing but junk food. Now, your kids may think it's a great idea. You may even like it for a few days, but if that's all there is day after day, you'd get tired of it fast. More importantly, your health would deteriorate. Eating nothing but junk food would affect your teeth, your digestive system, your heart. There's a lot of junk up and down the radio, too. That's why more and more people are switching over to us. Our programming is good for the heart. We'll help keep you focused on things that are pure, wholesome, encouraging. With all the messages that pull you away from God, we'll keep matters of faith in the forefront of your day. Life Talk Radio's impact throughout this area doesn't happen automatically. The partnership that exists between the station and our listeners makes it possible. Your monthly support is helping us change lives. Thanks for standing with Life Talk Radio.
Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking about violence in society, but in particular violence as it relates to children and teenagers. We'd like to have your opinions and your ideas. The number is 800-775-4673. My guest today is Dr. Tim Jennings, MD. He is a psychiatrist and a lecturer. He is in private practice in Dalton, Georgia, and he is in a very good situation to talk with us about the topic today, and we appreciate him being here in the studio. And if you would like to ask a question of him, if you know someone that is struggling with violence in the family, violence as it relates particularly to young people or teenagers, and you have a question or a comment, feel free to give us a call. The number, once again, is 800-775-4673. Before we went to break, Tim, we were talking about what is it concerning television, the medium itself, that actually leads into violence for kids as they grow and mature, the cause and effect issue. And you were cut off by the break, so go ahead and finish that up, if you would.
Yeah, let me put this in context for your audience. They can kind of understand and see the method, the underlying process that goes on across a host of situations. In the brain, there are a brain region that our aggressive impulses come out of, called the limbic system. If you're on your way home and somebody cuts you off in the interstate and you get that aggressive urge is coming out of your limbic system. And then if you, instead of acting out, you restrain yourself and you keep yourself under control, that's coming out of the prefrontal cortex, the part of the brain right behind your forehead where you do your thinking and reasoning and so forth. Disorders in which, or problems in which, the prefrontal cortex, that part of your brain right behind your forehead, are undermined, always result in impulse control problems, acting out in aggression. Classic example would be attention deficit disorder in kids where they have a hypoactivity of the prefrontal cortex, classically thought to do to dopamine signaling problems. It's a chemical in the prefrontal cortex. And what happens is a core feature is impulse control. They act out. They can't restrain themselves. A different disorder entirely is Alzheimer's dementia. Alzheimer's dementia, people lose neurons in that part of their brain, right behind their forehead. And as the dementia progresses, this limbic system is still there with these aggressive impulses, and so they begin to act out, and they can't restrain themselves anymore. If you intoxicate somebody with alcohol or drugs, you impair the functioning of the part of the brain right behind your forehead called the prefrontal cortex, that same part, the governor. And when that gets impaired, everybody knows when people are intoxicated with alcohol or drugs, they act out aggressively in various ways. And then television watching. Television watching in children, here's what happens. When a child is born, they have many more neurons at birth than they actually have later in life, because you come set for the brain to basically sculpt itself depending on the demands you place on it.
Well, now let me follow you on this. The older we get, the stupider we get,
not,
if I could say it that way.
Not at all.
The brain, but we have less brain cells.
Less brain cells several years after birth and right at birth, because the brain goes through the process of pruning its neural network to put, based on the demands we place upon it.
Uh-huh.
And so television watching in children actually suspends the functioning of the prefrontal cortex. In television watching, you don't have to think, you don't have to reason, you don't have to use your imagination. This prefrontal cortex, where these executive functions occur, are turned off with theatrical television watching. And so and at the same time, television watching is designed to stimulate that part of our brain that causes emotions, or the limbic system, whether it's fear, whether it's aggression. So we're activating the part of the brain that causes these aggressive rages, while we're hypoactivating or atrophying the part of the brain that causes us to have the ability to self-restrain. And so the more hours a child watches TV, the more likely they are to have impulse control problems later in life. That's why the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends no television at all for the first 2 years of life, and then very strict limits on television thereafter. My personal recommendation is that they really should watch no television for the first 7 years of life.
Okay. Now, when we talk about television, let's define that and see if there are any areas that are gray areas, or is it all just one way or the other. When we talk about television, of course, there are many things that could be watched on television. What about some of the things that are designed for children? You know, there's a whole series now. I'm not going to mention the company, but one of the major film companies in the country. They've made this whole series that are geared just towards kids, babies. And supposedly they play classical music and these kinds of things, and they're supposed to make the kids smarter as they get older. But if I hear you correctly, these are actually counterproductive and leads a child maybe not to be as smart as they could be.
And that's actually been shown in some scientific studies now that is true. If it's theatrical television that's designed to entertain in some fashion, television that provides everything for the child, then it's going to be counterproductive. I don't know that we'd have that same problem if, for instance, you were watching a closed-circuit TV in an overflow room of the church, watching the pastor on an overflow television set and a closed-circuit television. That's not the same type of thing. It's not a theatrical entertainment. It requires you, if you're going to get anything out of it, you've actually got to think about what's being said.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so those are two different experiences. If you're watching in a large university like University of Tennessee, a lot of the students have to watch the lecture on a closed-circuit television because they can't get them all in the room. That's not the same problem.
Okay. So when it comes to kids that are 2 years old, then, the recommendation is no TV of any sort whatsoever?
That's American Academy of Pediatrics, under two, zero TV, very strict limits thereafter. And also in the television watching, different from reading a story or listening to a radio, when you read a story to a child or they listen to the radio, they actually have to activate their imagination, and they have to create the scene in their own mind, which is activation of the prefrontal cortex,
mm-hmm.
which when you're watching television, you don't have to activate your imagination to create the scene. It's all being created for you, so actually turning off the prefrontal cortex.
Okay. Now let me ask you another question. Our topic today is not television, so we don't want to spend all of our time there, but what about adults? Does any of this same type of thing carry over into adulthood by way of whether or not people should watch television or not? And I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I know that's kind of a loaded question. I don't mean for it to be. But with children, the recommendation is they shouldn't watch television. Are there any reasons that are similar to that why adults should also avoid TV?
Well, imagine where you would be depending on the development of your own personal prefrontal cortex. If you have been raised in an environment with lots of TV and now you're an adult and you have a prefrontal cortex that is not very well adapted at restraining oneself, you have a limbic system, that part where you get all that aggression, you're very moody and irritable, television watching could inflame that situation. There's no question about it. If you have a person who's got a very well sense of self-governance and self-control, prefrontal cortex is very healthy, you may not find the same troubles that you'd run into in such a person who's much healthier in their development.
All right, more about violence in children and young people when we get back. We would love to hear from you. Our number is 800-775-4673. We are talking about this issue that seems to be really invading our society, young people that are involving themselves in not just simple acts of aggression, but in murder and other types of just extreme acts of violence. Give us a call, 800-775-HOPE. Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking about violence among children and teenagers. What is causing that? What about the violence that seems to be being widespread throughout our society, permeating our society? If you have opinions or ideas, give us a call, 800-775-4673. Violence, of course, is not a new thing. It's been around for a long time. We go back to the Bible in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. There, the book of Proverbs gives advice to a son, to a young person, and it says, "Do not walk in the path of evil men, for they drink the wine of violence." Proverbs chapter 24, verses 1 and 2 says, "Do not desire the company of wicked men, for their hearts plot violence." So obviously, violence is not a new thing. It's been around for a long, long time. As long as there has been sin in this world, there has been violence. But our society in particular seems to be leaning heavily towards the violent end of the spectrum. We're talking about that today as there are so many stories in the news about kids, about teenagers that are involving themselves in extreme acts of violence. And I know that you read these almost on a daily basis. So we're discussing that today. I have a great guest that is leading us into our discussion, Dr. Tim Jennings, MD, psychiatrist and lecturer. He is in private practice in Dalton, Georgia. Well, Tim, we talked about the issue of television and how that makes some changes in the brain that can lead to violence. But television, of course, is not the only factor. I mean, if we took television away altogether, there's still going to be violence. So what are some of the other things that leads to childhood violence?
Probably the number one factor in childhood violence is childhood abuse, whether it's physical abuse, sexual abuse, neglect, or psychological abuse. But children who are abused will have a much greater risk at being violent themselves at some point in time. Same factors involved as I went through a moment ago. When you're in an abusive household or an abusive environment, your body kicks out lots of stress hormones. And I want you to imagine yourself in a situation in which you feel that you are being physically threatened by someone, either because they're about to sexually assault you or physically assault you. And think about, in that environment, trying to take an exam for your final exams at school. It would impair your thinking, your reasoning. You couldn't focus. You couldn't concentrate because the stress is so high. So too, children who are raised in environments where there's this high level of violence or exploitation going on, they have this chronic exposure within their own body of these catecholamines or stress hormones that actually impair, again, development of prefrontal cortex. And at the same time, do two other very destructive things. One, hyperactivate or hypertrophy or stimulate that aggressive center of the brain, the limbic system, and also model for the child unhealthy, destructive, violent behavior. So they learn by observation that coping with difficult situations, the way to cope is by violent acting out. So they have bad modeling, they lose the ability to restrain themselves because their prefrontal cortex is hypoactive, and they have increased intensity of aggressive rages because of the experiences they went through.
So if you have a society that is violent, do we look now at the next generation and say the violence will increase in the following generation? Is this something that keeps compounding itself as time goes on?
Yeah, didn't God said that these things would go down from the third and fourth generations?
Right.
Yes, in fact, that's exactly what happens. If we don't make interventions that can result in turning a generation from violence, then these things can compound, and I can see it happening in my patients. I have so many patients that struggle with violence because they themselves are victims of violence, and in their homes they don't know how to cope, and when the stress gets up, the bills don't get paid, the baby is crying, they act out in sometimes abusive and violent ways, maybe not towards the child always, maybe towards the spouse, but they still act out violently.
In our society in the U.S., what has been the tipping point, if there is such a thing, a tipping point that has brought society to the place where it is today? If violence is a compounding thing and it keeps getting more and more violent, there must have been some point in time where events took place that led us to become a more violent society. We're going back in history now, and this is a little different, of course, but I don't know if there's an exact answer for this or if anyone in the world has an answer for it, but there must be some place where society, for whatever reason, started to become more violent, and then it just keeps growing and growing. I mean, if we go back a number of years ago, you don't hear the kinds of things happening in school that are taking place today. And it's not just that the news media is there. The news media has been around for a long time. It's just the fact of the matter that it wasn't happening to the degree that it is happening today.
This probably is not really the answer you're looking for, and you're going to laugh when I say it, but the reality is the tipping point was when Adam sinned.
Okay.
Because when Adam sinned, an infecting element infected human experience, and that infecting element is some people call selfishness, other people call survival of the fittest. But it is that aggressive element towards self-preservation that is inherent in each one of us, and children are born this way. Now, some psychiatrists and psychologists will say that the murderer, the person in jail who has murdered someone, is the most normal person in jail, because any human being in the right circumstances, they say, could be a murderer, because we have this instinctual self-preservation instinct that is inherent because of the fall. And that's why, if you've read the book The Lord of the Flies, or saw the movie The Lord of the Flies, these young people who ended up stranded on an island with no adult supervision whatsoever, they ended up regressing into this animalistic, aggressive murdering impulses that took over. And I think that's the inherent defect that we have in God's plan for healing, is the plan to eliminate those aggressive impulses so that we come to the point, as Christ said, that we love others so much that we'd rather give our life for them rather than hurt them to protect ourselves.
Now, I know that you are you're obviously a Christian psychiatrist. When you look at this situation and you see, of course, that children now, because of violence on the part of the parents, have more of a tendency towards violent behavior, and we see that that keeps compounding in society, really the only cure is for God to intervene. It would seem to me, and you may not want to take as broad a step as I take on this. I don't. Maybe you do, Tim. But, of course, you know, I'm come from the standpoint of the Bible. I'm a pastor, and I look at that and I say the only cure that there is a person to get a relationship with the Lord and for the Lord to intervene. Now, obviously, that doesn't negate the need for your practice and for what you do. That's a very necessary thing. But the only true, real cure to this whole issue that we have of increasing violence really is the Lord, isn't it?
I would say that's absolutely right in the context that we're not talking about the mentally ill person. We're talking about the generally normal person who has aggressive, violent tendencies or temptations. That the only real change is that change of heart, where you come to love others more than you love yourself, and you're willing to sacrifice for others rather than exploit and take advantage of others. And when we persist in this aggressive, violent behavior, we actually damage those very faculties within us that are sensitive to the voice of God, and we move ourselves away from the ability to be helped.
We will be back in just a moment. If you'd like to join our discussion, the number is 800-775-4673. We are talking about violence among young people and teenagers. Give us a call.
Call 800-775-4673 to share your thoughts on Steve Gallimore Live.
If you're blessed by what you are hearing on this radio station and you want more, LifeTalk Radio introduces the Hope Channel, a powerful new television network with an exciting, inspirational program lineup relevant to today's culture. Join us in a new documentary series as we retrace Paul's epic journeys across Asia Minor. Enjoy biographies that will take you through the lives of great Christian leaders. Inspirational Bible studies will lead you to a better understanding of God's Word. And our cutting-edge health and cooking programs will help you enjoy a full and happy lifestyle. To start enjoying Hope Channel's programming right away, contact your cable or satellite provider today and let them know you want the Hope Channel. For more information, visit us online at www.hopetv.org. That's www.hopetv.org.
Steve Gallimore back with you. We're talking about the increase of violence in our society, especially as it relates to kids and to teenagers. We'd like to hear your opinions, your ideas, 800-775-4673. Now we're going to Georgia, and we're going to talk to Jason. Jason, nice to have you on the air with us today.
Yeah, how you doing, Steve?
Great, thank you.
I just wanted to comment on the discussion you were saying, and I think definitely the media does have an influence. A few years ago, I was a teenager, and I went to see a movie called Mortal Kombat.
Okay.
In the theaters. It's quite the violent film.
Uh-huh.
And, by the time that my friends and I left, we were just ready to fight someone,
Okay.
And I kind of feel it's almost like peer pressure, where the more you see that type of thing, it influences you, and in the media, that's how people deal with their problems. And so it just gives you the idea that that's how you can deal with your problems, too. And so I think definitely the media is dangerous to young people and to teens, and parents need to carefully monitor. So I just concur with all the things that you guys say, especially even as a young man myself, I've experienced it.
Great observation, Jason. Our guest today, of course, is Dr. Tim Jennings, MD, and he's a psychiatrist. Let's turn to him and ask him to respond to your question. Let me ask you, Dr. Jennings, does the reaction of Jason, does the data hold up that really is a true carryover? He was saying that he and his friends went to see a violent movie. They leave there, they feel more violent themselves. We know, of course, when the Super Bowl takes place, everyone knows that the data supports that violence goes up after people watch the violent behavior of football on Super Bowl. Now, I don't mean to be overly dramatic about football, but in any case, there does seem, at least in that point, to be some kind of relationship. What about what Jason has said? Is there a carryover from watching violence to the impulses that people might have towards violence?
There's no question, and I'm glad he called in because he added another layer, another aspect. We were talking about the biologic side here a moment ago, but he's added the layer of the psychologic side, which is that by beholding we become changed, it says in the Bible,
right.
Or in psychology, psychiatrists or psychologists call that modeling. So as we observe this type of behavior, and if we go to it with a certain admiration and looking up to it, then we do want to become like that, and it becomes part of who we are, and we want to go out and act that out ourselves. So it's just that synergy of both the biologic side and the psychological side blending together in those impactful movies that can really increase the desire or the temptation to be violent.
Jason, great call. Did you have anything else that you wanted to add to that? Or?
Yeah, I'd say that it seems so obvious. You know, I don't know how people can avoid this conclusion that what you watch influences you, especially if you're younger. You have, you know, less ability to distinguish between fantasy and reality. And I think people are just being silly and stupid about this issue. It should be obvious.
And I want to jump in there and say,
sure.
If it wasn't the case that what you watch didn't influence you, then all these companies wouldn't spend billions of dollars on marketing and advertisement, because they know that what you watch influences you. That's why they spend all their money for advertising. And then they come back and claim, oh, what you watch, though, really doesn't influence you.
Yeah, you know, that is that's a tricky thing, isn't it? I mean, as you've indicated, they're spending all these billions and billions of dollars for advertising. It does have an impact. It does
Absolutely.
Have an effect. And good point. Well, Jason, thanks a lot for calling. I really appreciate your call.
Hey, God bless you guys.
Thanks. God bless.
Bye-bye.
That was a good call. And I really like the response that you just gave, because I think if something should alert us to the fact that television advertising does have an impact on us, it's what you just mentioned, because they spend all the money, and if they weren't getting the returns from that, they wouldn't do it.
And exactly.
So when you see a movie, I think that there is some judgment. If you have a good front cortex, you can overlook some of these things, can't you?
That's true. That's true.
But they still have an impact.
The more you watch it, even with a good prefrontal cortex and good development, the more you're exposed to it, it can break you down. That's why in some of the mind-washing type of experiences, they will expose people to videos, violent videos and loud, violent music for hours and hours. And over the time, it has an impact, even for people who are trying to resist.
All right, let's come back to the kids again. Have a great Bible text. This comes from Deuteronomy chapter 4. It says, teach them to your children and to their children after them. Talking about what we were talking about before, the impact carries on from generation to generation. But let's look at the other side of the coin now. We've been talking about the negative, and we say that, okay, violence is caused by these certain negative factors that come into the life of a child. What about the positive factors that keep them out of violence?
Yeah, and I think that's the challenge for parents. Our children are born into the world, just as we were born into the world, with predispositions that lead us. If we were left all to ourselves with no interventions whatsoever, we would go in a way of self-destruction.
Right.
That's the way we'd go naturally. And so our job as parents is to begin intervening at the very earliest moments, to be introducing the healing solution, the interventions that will bring our children into a path of eternal life, ultimately, is
right.
The path. And so what kind of things can ultimately be done? Well, we want to use our common sense. We want to avoid putting in our children's lives things that add to their burdens, add to their obstacles. So we want to avoid abusive situations. Okay? We want to avoid the television we've talked about. We want to avoid introducing our kids to narcotics and drugs and alcohol. And you'd be surprised how many people have come see me who, at an early age, their parents would smoke marijuana with them, or their parents would give them beer to drink. Okay, so we want
Amazing.
To avoid things that are going to add destruction to the child's life. We want to begin allowing the children to develop their prefrontal cortex. We want to put experiences in their life that actually activates that part of their brain, mm-hmm. give them opportunity to make age-appropriate decisions rather than making all decisions for them.
Right.
That's a critical thing. There are very many loving Christian parents who would never think of letting a child watch TV, never think of letting a child have a bad substance enter their body. They're in church every week. But some of those parents, and I've seen patients this way as well, would never think of letting a child make a decision either.
Right.
And so those children grew up paralyzed in their prefrontal cortex because they don't know how to think because they never get an opportunity to make a choice.
Right.
And that's dangerous as well.
Okay. So parents need to give children positive experiences where they can make some positive choices in their life. What are some other things that parents can do to lead children into developing positive behavior patterns? Because once again, if a child, it would seem to me, and correct me on this if I'm wrong, it would seem to me if a child has developed certain positive habits and patterns in life, that will tend to keep them away from some of the negative things that could come their way, negative choices they could make. So what are some of the things that parents can do to enable children to do good things? I hear the music playing. Let's get into that when we get back, because I think we need to spend a little bit more time on some of the positive things that can be done. We'd like to hear from you. Our number is 800-775-4673. We are talking about violence in our society, especially as it relates to teenagers and to children. And you know, there is an increase of this. It seems like almost on a daily basis, we see more and more of this in the news. Give us a call if you'd like to speak with us, 800-775-4673.
Call now with your questions or comments, 800-775-4673.
Hi kids, my name is Elizabeth. My daddy works here at Life Talk Radio. He asked me to talk to you for a minute about the adventures in the Holy Bible and to tell you how great they are. Each Bible study is so much fun to do. They are full of puzzles and other activities that help you learn more about Jesus. Then every time you finish 4 lessons, they send you a free cassette tape from your story hour. My brother and sisters and I really like listening to these stories. When you finish all 54 lessons, you'll get a free holder for the 13 tapes. That's 26 stories about Jesus. The best part of all is that it's free. That will probably be your parents' favorite part too. So start taking the adventures in the Holy Bible. Call Life Talk Radio at 1-800-775-4673. Thanks, I know you'll enjoy that.
Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking today about violence among children and teenagers. If you'd like to be part of our discussion, you can do that by dialing 800-775-4673. My guest today is Dr. Tim Jennings, and he is well qualified to help us with our topic. He is a psychiatrist and a lecturer, and he is in private practice in Dalton, Georgia. Tim, let's come back just for a moment anyway, briefly, about some of the positive things that parents can do. If a parent takes a child out and say, takes them to some positive experience, takes them to the zoo, takes them out to take food to some older person that's shut in, those kinds of good behavior-building experiences, does that also have a positive impact that carries over later on life that will keep them away from some of the negative things?
Well, I think the main thing is how that transpires in the interaction between the child and the parent. That the most important relationship for children are those parent-child relationships. So if the parent is taking the child to give food to someone, but the experience between the parent and the child is one of you will go, and they right. spank them on the way 3 times to get there,
sure.
and then that experience might not be so helpful.
Right.
So it's really that interaction between the child and parent would be more important than the actual event that they're doing themselves.
Okay. All right. Great. Let's talk about some interventions.
Well, let's talk about the contributing factors, and then we can talk
okay.
about interventions.
All right.
Contributing factors, we mentioned some, television, we mentioned childhood violence, but head injury in children, malnutrition, things that can cause brain damage in children could be a problem. Witnessing violence, so the child themselves has not been violated violently or sexually, but they're in a place where they witness or observe those types of things happening. High stress environments where the child doesn't have a sense of safety or security, even though they're not being abused, they're just constantly, this may be a child who has been removed from a home and bounces from home to home, or a post trauma experience as far as like a natural disaster, and then they're bounced from home to home. These types of high stress situations are going to increase risk. anger control problems in the child from their innate temperament, impulsivity in the child from their innate temperament, alcohol or drugs prenatally. Prenatally,
that's
alcohol
a big issue,
and drugs,
isn't it?
Yes, are a serious risk factor for children who will later be violent because it damages brain development. All these things are factors. So back to now your question, things that you can do to be helpful, maybe preventative. We've mentioned a good, healthy environment, a structured environment where parents are consistent. Can't emphasize that enough, where parents provide a consistent, secure, and reliable, predictable environment for their kids so the kids know where the boundaries are and they know what the consequences are and they don't have to always be in doubt and wonder. That can cause its own anxiety and uncertainty and worry because they never know what to do and how to behave. They don't know how the parent will respond. So a consistent, predictable environment is very, very good. Good nutrition for the child. Environments where you've taken some vigilance as a parent to reduce the possibility that somebody outside the home may take advantage, exploit, or bully your child. And you want to be vigilant in those areas as well. Video games we didn't talk about. But video games, especially violent video games, while they do require the person to plan and organize with their prefrontal cortex, they require them to plan and organize violent and destructive behaviors.
Right.
So that would be a learning experience that would not be helpful for the child. If a parent had a child who was already having violent problems, what might they do?
Okay. Well, let's come back for just a moment. Let's get onto that in just a moment. But let me go back up just a little bit. The things that you just mentioned, of course, I think are easily understood, except maybe for the one about nutrition. It seems to me that that may require a little more explanation, and obviously nutrition is not your background, but given your field, you must have some perspective on that.
Well, I think wholesome, healthy foods, fruits, nuts, grains, vegetables, omega-3 fatty acids in the diet, omega-3 fatty acids in the diet, essential for neuronal health and brain development, a multivitamin every day. All these things would be very good. A Big Mac and fries and a Coke three times a day is not a good, healthy diet. And a lot of inner-city kids, that's what they almost eat.
Physiologically, what impact does that have on the brain? When you use the omega-6 oils and those kinds of things, there are certain deteriorations that take place physiologically in the brain. I don't know if you have some comment that you'd like to share with us on that.
The neuronal membrane, the actual physical components that make up the membrane of the neurons are made up of a balance of omega-6 and omega-3 fatty acids. If we don't get omega-3 fatty acids in the foods that we eat, then our brain doesn't have it, and it actually impairs neuronal development. And there are some studies, there are things that suggest that there may be IQ differences among kids who don't have omega-3s than kids that do, and the kids that have the omega-3s have a higher IQ later in life than the kids that have lower omega-3s.
All right, let's go back to the phones. And we are going to New Mexico, and we're going to talk to Santiago. Nice to have you with us today, Santiago.
Thank you for having me.
Yes.
But I think the violent movies, they contribute to the violent kids when then they become adults. But the way I see it is a lot of these kids, they come from single parents. I mean, they only have a mom or they only have a dad. And the mom and dad, they don't have time. They're always at work. So as soon as they come home, they know automatically to turn on the TV, and the violence is there, like the Terminator and all that. And they don't look at violence like it's violence. They look at it like a hero. Like they would like to look at their mom as a hero or their dad, but they're never home. So they see Arnold Schwarzenegger as a hero, as Terminator. Do you understand me?
I do, and I think you're making an excellent point. Because people are so busy today, of course, fathers and mothers are working. They come home, they're tired, they don't have a lot of time for the kids. By the time they fix the dinner together and get the kids maybe started on their homework and so forth,
exactly,
there's just not a lot of time left in life. And so you
lose
a lot of that dynamic between
parents
and children.
You know what I think the biggest problem is, though? I think it's that we have poor communicating skills.
Okay.
Us adults.
I think you're making a good point, Santiago. Let's ask our guest. Dr. Jennings, what would your response be?
I think he's reaffirming all that we've been saying here today. Those kids need structured environment and healthy relationships with parents. When that's not there, it creates an inherent sense of anxiety, worry, which contributes to the fear factor, which drives aggression.
Okay.
Yes. They look for another hero because they don't have their parents around, you know what I mean? And usually those heroes are Charles Bronson, Clint Eastwood, you know, those kind of things. You know what I mean? Because the dad puts the TV on, or the mom, and they say that's a good actor. Or maybe they buy videos of Clint Eastwood and the Terminator. So those kids say, you know what? My parents they put it on here. So maybe I should look towards this movie as something to learn from, because my parents keep on doing it. You know, monkey see, monkey do. Do you understand?
Sure. Yeah, it would seem that kids are going to learn from the parents, either good or bad. I mean, either way, they're going to learn something.
Yes, and the parents mostly, our days, they're all in the world. They're not Christians, and the ones that say they're Christians, they're phonies, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, Santiago, we are out of time, but I want to thank you for calling.
Much.
Great call. God bless.
God bless you. Bye.
All right, Dr. Jennings, we only have just a little bit of time left, under a minute. Let's wrap this up. What are some things that you'd like to leave people with today?
If you have a child who's already violent, then I would suggest starting with a good psychiatric or psychological evaluation to see if there's not some underlying issue there. And then begin removing from the things contributing factors, removing from their experience contributing factors, television, video games. If they're in an unsafe environment, give them a structured, safe environment. Caffeine, we didn't mention that, but stimulants of any kind. Remove those things, healthy nutrition, get spirituality and God into their life, and then develop that healthy relationship with their parent.
Well, we hope this has been helpful to you today as we have talked about the issues of violence in our society and violence among children. And we would recommend that you stay close to the Lord. Find some good advice, someone that can give you some good advice, like our guest today, Dr. Jennings. There are others I know that can do that as well. We want to thank you for being with us today. Look forward to talking with you once again on Monday. In the meantime, have a great weekend. God bless.